Good morning. So good to see all of you here today. We're delighted that you've made it a priority to come and worship the Lord. And we've had a great morning here at First Baptist already with our early worship and our Bible study time. And just meeting with the choir before the service was worship and fellowship. So powerful. So thank y'all. And I thank the choir and Karen for the work that they do throughout the week. And just an honor to get to serve them and to serve you. And so looking forward to hearing Brother Joel's message for the second time. It was powerful in the early worship as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of worship. You are worthy of praise. And so we bring our praise before you today. For you are worthy to be praised and lifted up on high with our voices. And let us, throughout our life, sing until our voice is gone, and Brother Joel will be able to preach until his voice is gone, and all of us to give testimony about Jesus until we can no longer breathe. Lord, let our life be about you and bringing glory to your name, encouraging other people, loving people the way you do. And as we enter into this time of song, may our songs be filled with your power and your spirit, your glory, and may the word as it's proclaimed to us today be taken by your Holy Spirit and used in our hearts and lives to grow us into the people that you want us to be, that we might serve you and serve others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand together as we sing. We sure do need him now, and we need him every day. Let's praise his holy name, our God and our Redeemer. It's hymn number 68.
Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad you, visitors, that the Lord has led you to worship with us today. We are so glad you're here. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Good to have you worshiping today at First Baptist.
Hey. gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible. To all who call upon His name, we will stand. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our soul's reward, till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
We will stand.
We will stand.
That's the song we've been singing as our theme for the past few weeks as Joel has been preaching through Hebrews 11 and moving on into the first couple of verses of Hebrews 12 today, by faith. And that's the way we're to live our lives. Not the way the world lives, but the way that God would have us to live as people of the faith. And part of His family, God's family, here on this earth. So it's great to be able to sing that together. And I hope that that song has been a blessing to you during this time. Now we continue with our hymn singing a beautiful hymn, some kind of a more modern hymn. It's called As the Deer. If you'd like to look it up in your hymn book, Carson made sure all those hymn books got back in place last week. We'll be working on the upstairs when everything is finished up there. So unfortunately, all you've got is the screen today, but let's sing As the Deer Panteth for the Water.
You're my friend and you are
us a cappella.
You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee.
He's worthy of worship and praise. I'm thankful we can come here today and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I hope that as we sang, you were thinking about your soul and your spirit longing after God. And that's probably why you came today, to long after God and to worship Him. And thank you for being here. Let's continue our singing as we sing. I would say this is our church's favorite song. And if I'm wrong, you can let me know. Not right now. But I think it's our church's favorite song. I've been here, October will be 16 years, and I found this to be true. And so it's our offertory hymn. So remain seated until we make it to the third stanza. Then we'll all sing together and sing an extra chorus. So let's just continue worshiping. 353, it's Victory in Jesus.
Victory in Jesus.
Would you join me for prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for all the blessing you've given to us, for just allowing us to be in your house this beautiful Lord's Day. And we come this morning just asking your blessings on our church, on our city, on our nation, on the world this morning as we continue to wobble down the dead-end road. And we just pray this morning that we come to this time of the service when we can return a portion of that you so graciously given to each of us. We just pray that you'll use these tithes and offerings to the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Can we just praise the Lord together with clapping? Praise the Lord. I know Karen's heart and her desire is not to receive applause for herself, but for the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being such a friend to us. Karen, I appreciate your service to the Lord and what you do week by week, as well as the choir. And what a blessing it is for us as the choir and me as their director to share with you the Word of God from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, as Joel will be preaching just what we're singing. This piece right here, we've done it a time or two, but I think the Lord directed me to this particular song. A year or so ago, I was just searching, and with this particular composer that arranges these beautiful hymns, Cindy Berry, and happened to find this song, and we want to share it with you today to prepare for the message that Joel has to bring, Run the Race.
Thank you.
Ken, thank you. Thank you, choir. That is exactly where we are today. Hebrews 11:39 through 12:2, and that song is based on that passage of Scripture in the early worship. Ken introduced, and the praise team, they introduced a new song today, and Ken kind of talked about that song. And the title of the song is Until My Voice Is Gone, and the idea was the idea, I'm going to sing until my voice is gone, and I'm going to stand until I can't stand any longer. And so how perfect that was for the sermon in the early worship, and even more perfect, that song for today, and hearing that sung, and then allowing that to just move in our hearts, and then allowing the Lord to speak to us. So after the early worship, one of the great things about the late worship is oftentimes after I preach in the early worship, I have conversations with people. And then I get to come into this worship service and tell you about those conversations. I don't name names. I don't tell you who they are. But some of those conversations are so insightful and so important for me as the pastor of the church. So I mentioned a lady a couple of weeks ago. Well, just so happened, I preached this morning this sermon about running the race and enduring and you know, singing until we can't sing no more. You know, running the race with endurance. So after it's all over with, she goes to Sunday school. She gets finished with Sunday school. She comes down and she looks at me and she says, you know our conversation the other day? And I said, yeah. She said, well, as you know, it just got worse. I said, yes, it did. It got worse, didn't it? She said, it did. She said, just last night, I was sitting in a dark house by myself, and my words to the Lord were, I just don't think I can go on, Lord. I don't think I can go on. I just don't know that I can keep going. It just goes from bad to worse and then worse to worse and worse and worse. And I just don't know that I can go on. And she said, and then this morning, I had no desire to come to church. Zero. But the Lord got me out of bed. I had no desire to put on clothes, but the Lord put on clothes. And I had no desire to get in my car, but I got here. And she said, so if nobody else in this worship service or in the next needed to hear a word from the Lord that said, keep on, run, hang in there. There's a cloud of witnesses, including Jesus himself, saying, you can do this. By faith, you can do this. And she said, if there's nobody else that needed to hear that today, that sermon was meant specifically for me. Well, I got a feeling, and I said to her, I got a feeling that that sermon is meant for more than just you. Several years ago, I preached a series on the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And I referred to that series all the time, because of all of the series that I've done, that could be my favorite. And what we did was we just went through Job and Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and even Song of Solomon. And we just looked at the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, and we continued every single Sunday to ask this question. How do I live wise in an unwise world? That is, how do I live with biblical wisdom in a world that has no biblical wisdom at all? So on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, all through the week, I'm living in a world that has zero wisdom. There's a lot of smart people, but no wisdom. So in a world with no wisdom, how do I live with biblical wisdom? And we asked that question over and over again, and we allowed the wisdom literature of the Old Covenant to just teach us how to live wise in an unwise world. Well, this series, even though that series lasted an entire year, this series has been 5 Sundays. But in essence, it's kind of the same thing, because in this series, Hebrews chapter 11, we've basically been asking this question. How do I live with the power of faith in a world with no faith in the Lord whatsoever? How do I do that? How am I supposed to go out into a world that is faithless? We get mad as Christians. We get mad at those who lead our world, lead our culture. We get mad at the things that they do and how they lead. And the truth of the matter is that they have no choice but to lead that way. They don't know Christ as Savior and Lord. They can't see spiritually with the eyes of faith. They can't hear with the ears of faith. And so they have no choice but to just simply go with what the culture says to do. So now how do you and I then, as followers of Jesus Christ, live with this power of faith every day in a faithless culture? I think I said something like this in the early worship. The American culture of my youth no longer exists. It's just not there anymore. And it's not going to do anything but get worse and worse and worse. I can't change that. There's not anybody that's called me up and said, you know, Joel, what we want you to do is we want you to teach our world and our culture how to live better with faith. Nobody's doing that. I can't change the culture that I live with in. However, what I can do is live by faith in a faithless culture. So how do we do that? The book of Hebrews was written to the first century church. Now they were dispersed. They had been pushed out from Jerusalem, and now they were kind of everywhere. And they were probably anywhere from 60, 70, 80, 90 AD. So they were kind of growing tired and weary. They were losing their wartime mentality. Their hands were growing weak. Their knees were beginning to tremble. And we all get that. There's no judgment by me, by any stretch of the imagination. The writer says way back in chapter 2, so we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift away from it. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? So the church was kind of drifting and neglecting and growing tired and weary, lazy, negligent. Once again, no judgment by me. No judgment by the 21st century church. I mean, we look back and there's no arrogance. There's no holier than thou by any stretch of the imagination. We're not looking back and going, well, what they should have done is this, this, and this, and this. We would not ever even think about that. What they endured in the first century for the gospel of Jesus Christ and because of their stance for the gospel is beyond what our minds can even possibly understand. So there's no judgment on our part, but we can simply learn by what they endured. Listen to what the writer says as he closes up Hebrews 11. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us so that they would not reach perfection without us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So that's the condition of the church. So the backdrop of Hebrews 12:1, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. That's the whole point of the book. The whole point of this letter or this sermon, whatever it is that different theologians call it, Whatever it is, this word to the first century church, kind of moving out from Jerusalem, they're kind of everywhere. The whole point of this word is endure, persevere, run, fight, be alert, be strong, don't drift, don't neglect, don't be sluggish, don't take your salvation for granted. Fight the fight of faith based on the gospel, the good news, based on this incredible, spectacular death and resurrection of Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And show your faith the way that the saints of Hebrews 11 showed their faith. So the main point is this one imperative: run. Everything supports this. Don't stroll. Don't meander. Don't wander about aimlessly, but run. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Every obstacle. He says, first of all, let us throw off the sin that slows us down, or strip off the sin that weights us down. But then, he's not just talking about sin. Sin is bad enough. But he's also saying all the other things in life that may not be inherently sinful at all. However, those good things can be the things that slow you down. So we think about all of the things that are giving us problems. Verse 1 is a command to look at your life, to think hard about what you're doing. Get ruthless about what stays and what goes. What we should be asking is this, whatever this is. In the way of greater love and greater purity and greater courage and greater humility and greater patience and greater self-control. Not so much is it sin, but does it help me run the race that the Lord has set before me? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great, huge crowd of witnesses, so we're motivated by those who have gone before us. Who are they? What does their witnessing mean? They are the saints that have lived and died in Hebrews 11. They are the saints in the New Covenant, the Apostle Paul, Peter, the apostles, and all of the New Covenant saints. They are husbands and wives of people in this sanctuary. They are dads and moms of people in this sanctuary that have gone on before us, that are lining down the marathon route, and they are saying, I did it by faith, and you can too. The best way to illustrate it is Hebrews 11:4. The writer speaks of Abel. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by the example of his faith. So Abel is a part of that cloud of witnesses. And he's witnessing to us by his life through Scripture, the way that all in Hebrews 11 are helping us. So we are encouraged today. There are literally millions upon millions upon millions upon millions that have gone before us. They finished the race, and they are the cloud of witnesses that stand by us and say, by faith we did this, and by faith you can too. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. He's the one who started our faith. He's the one who will finish our faith. We keep our eyes fixed on him. Finally, the writer wants us to be motivated to endure in our run with Jesus because the reward of seeing God the Father and the reward of the gospel, the reward of the good news that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, will be far greater than anything we could ever have as far as this world is concerned, and the reward will be worth it all. So there will be temporary losses, yes. That's true with me, that's true with you, that's true with all of us. That is true. But the Apostle Paul says, the sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. The sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to those who are in Christ Jesus. So let's make this personal. So, Joel, strip off every weight that slows you down. Especially, Joel, the sin that so easily trips you up. And then, Joel, run with endurance the race that God has given to you. The gospel is the greatest reward of all. There is nothing greater than what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And that reward at some point will be worth every pain and problem that we've endured on this earth. So strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Church, run. Run. It may be that this week you're like our friend last week. I don't think I can do this anymore. Oh, yes, you can. And the gospel will be worth it. Father, thank you for the good word that you promised to us. Now, Father, we hold desperately to this promise, because without it, we are left alone in a sinful world and we have no shot. We have no chance. But by faith and because of faith in Jesus, the Savior and Lord of our lives, we can endure. We can run the race that has been given to us as your children. Sometimes, Lord, in this life that we live, we just need a good, strong, powerful word of encouragement. Today, that's exactly what you give to us in this great word of encouragement. There's a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Most importantly, Jesus Himself, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, Father, for a great, powerful word of encouragement to your body, the body of Christ today. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, then we encourage you today, come make that profession of your faith today. If you need to join our church or come and pray, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing. Please be seated for just a moment. Harv and Barb Holly come today saying they know Christ as Savior and Lord, to follow Christ in believers' baptism, and this is where they know that the Lord wants them to worship and serve right here at First Baptist Church. They've been a part of us for a while now. Matter of fact, I kind of jokingly say to the Hollies, nobody has come farther to join First Baptist Church than Harv and Barb. They came here from Oregon, so they've traveled a long way to be a part of this church. And so I know that you are thrilled for that decision that they are making today. All in favor, seeing nobody opposed, then you make sure that you say a word of encouragement to Harv and Barb as they come to make this decision public today. All right, the Skidmores came in the early worship. That's Kevin and Jill Skidmore and their children, Hudson, yes. And he's the one that I know more than any of the rest of them. Hudson, Oliver, and Millie. And they're coming today saying that they know Christ as Savior and Lord. Jill followed Christ as her Savior and Lord in baptism many years ago, but Kevin and the children had never followed Christ in baptism. So Warren, our youth minister, and Kevin grew up together, great friends, graduated high school together. So they wanted to be baptized in the river. So Warren met them, the whole family, I guess it was over there by top of the river, somewhere around in that area, and they all went out into the river, and I've done that with the Lane family and others. And so Warren had the great privilege of baptizing that family, and so they came today saying, all right, we follow Christ in believers' baptism and want to unite with First Baptist Church. So the next time that you see the Skidmores, say a word of encouragement to them. And in just a moment when we're done, you'll have an opportunity to come and encourage the Hollies. All right, what do we got first of all? Women's Bible study starting September the 6th. Whitney Mastin is the one who is leading that one. It will be in the P27 Sunday School class from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So sign up on the old Lord's Supper tables. Ladies have already started signing up. See Whitney if you want to know more information about that class. All right, next. Men's Ministry. Elliot Rowe and Brian Harrell and others are starting a Saturday morning once a month, first Saturday, I think, or maybe the second Saturday of every first monthly prayer breakfast is this September the 9th. Blah, 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 blah. And so then they'll be doing that every single month for the prayer breakfast. So go ahead and sign up for that, I think, on the old Lord's Supper table as well. Looking forward to that starting. All right, next. Children's Choir, Ken.
Yeah, September the 11th is the day we'll start. We've got sign-up sheets in the children's ministry area in those little baskets out there on the wall, and then also in the church office. And you can see me. I can make sure you get one if you would rather do it that way. We've had some that have already filled those out and gotten them in. And so I encourage parents, grandparents to go ahead and get that taken care of as soon as we can. Looking forward to a great year. We've got lots of great things planned. We've got some great children's choir music and multi-generational choir music, which will involve all the singers in the church. So the children will be a big part of that as well. So pray for us as we start this new year on September the 11th.
All right. Next, our Western Roundup. All right, so September the 12th, that's a Tuesday night, 5 o'clock, Fellowship Hall. The Sons of the Pioneers will be leading in that time of fellowship. And so sign-up sheet on the old Lord's Supper table for our seniors, our mature adults. All right, next. So we've got a lot going on as far as discipleship is concerned. Roy Bryant, Mike Maley will be leading a Tuesday night Bible study fellowship for men studying the book of John, and that will be starting September the 12th. You can see you can go online and check that out, or talk to Roy, talk to Mike, and they'll give you more information about that. Tuesday evening, 6:30, room 201, starting September the 12th. Also, on Wednesday night, Tim Hayes and Jackie Hester will be leading a discipleship program that's based on the Andy Griffith Show. That thing's been out for about 20 years or longer, so they're going to have that on Wednesday night. You see that in your bulletin. 6 o'clock, it'll start on September 13th. Also, we've got September the 10th, on Sunday, September the 10th, a new Sunday school is starting. Young adults, couples, singles, all of these young couples that are part of our church that aren't a member, are part of P27 or a part of Enrichment. And we've got Kevin and Amy Hawk are going to lead that young adult Sunday school class. We're really excited about that class. You're going to be hearing from us in the next week or so. We're going to start sending some emails and some text messages about trying to make sure you're there on that particular Sunday, and then from that point forward. Also, it's time for deacon nominations and committee on committee nominations. You can go to our website, Ministry Opportunities, and it'll show you who the deacons are right now. And then that'll help you with nominations. Same thing with committee on committees. It'll tell you the people that are on the committee right now so that you won't nominate those people. But we have until September the 13th to make nominations. You can nominate two for deacon, many as you want, I think, as far as committee on committees is concerned. So go ahead and start making those nominations. All right, let's all stand and close. After we sing the doxology, come say a word of encouragement to the Hollies.